Random House Audio presents Life After Death, The Burden of Proof by Deepak Chopra. This is Deepak Chopra. While writing this book on the afterlife, I kept being drawn back to stories that I'd heard in India as a child. In these stories, the abstract issues of death, immortality, and eternity acquired a human face as ordinary people confronted the fear and wonder of death. Parables are a powerful way to teach children, and many of the ones told to me have lasted all my life. So I decided to weave the whole book around tales of the kind I heard at home, around the temples and at school, hoping that the reader would be enticed by a world where heroes battle darkness in order to emerge into the light. In this case, the hero is a woman, Savitri, and the enemy she must defeat is Yama, the Lord of Death. Yama shows up in her front yard one day, waiting to take away her husband the moment he returns from his work as a woodcutter. Savitri is terrified. What strategy could possibly turn Death away from his inexorable mission? I had no trouble imagining these characters. I was frightened for Savitri and anxious to find out how her battle of wits with death turned out. Their world flowed easily into my own because the India of my childhood was not that far removed from it. I want to take a moment to convey what death and the world beyond meant back then. What was most magical in my childhood was transformation. Death itself was seen as a brief stopping point on an endless soul journey that could turn a peasant into a king and vice versa. With the possibility of infinite lifetimes extending forward and backward, death ended nothing. It opened up limitless adventures. But at a deeper level, it's typically Indian not to crave permanence. A drop of water becomes vapor which is invisible, yet vapor materializes into billowing clouds, and from clouds rain falls back to earth, forming river torrents and eventually merging into the sea. Has the water drop died along the way? No. It undergoes a new expression each time. Likewise, the idea that I have a fixed body locked in space and time is a mirage. A drop of water inside my body could have been ocean, cloud, river, or spring the day before. I remind myself of this fact when the bonds of daily life squeeze too tight. In traditional Western religions, the hereafter has been viewed as a place akin to the material world. Heaven, hell, purgatory, or other realms of the afterlife lie in some distant region beyond the sky or under the earth. In the India of my childhood, the hereafter wasn't a place at all, but a state of awareness. One plane of existence among many millions in which the cosmos celebrates its existence. Separating these domains from the real world was a mistake I never made. The cosmos that you and I are experiencing right now, with trees, plants, people, houses, cars, stars, and galaxies, is just consciousness expressing itself at one particular frequency. Elsewhere in space-time, different planes exist simultaneously. If I had asked my grandmother where heaven was, she would have pointed to the house we lived in, not only because it was full of love, but because it made sense to her that many worlds could comfortably inhabit the same place. By analogy, if you're listening to a concert orchestra, there are 100 instruments playing, each occupying the same place in space and time. If you had an ear that could only hear notes in the same range, violin, flute, and piccolo, say, you would miss all the other instruments being played. Much of reality would be unavailable to you because you were tuned in only to a narrow band of sound. I didn't know it as a child, but when I walked around the crowded Delhi market, where more humanity was packed into one bazaar than was possible to imagine, the world I couldn't see was even more crowded. The air that I breathed contained voices, car noises, bird songs, radio waves, X-rays, cosmic rays, and an almost infinite array of subatomic particles, endless realities, lay all around me. Every frequency in nature exists simultaneously, and yet we experience only what we see. It's natural to fear what we can't see, and since death snatches a person out of sight, we react to it with fear. I certainly wasn't immune to this. The death of my grandfather, which happened suddenly in the middle of the night, was devastating. My younger brother kept running around the house crying, "Where is he? Where is he?" It would be years before I realized that the correct answer was here and everywhere. Different planes of existence represent different frequencies of consciousness. The world of physical matter is just one expression of a particular frequency.